Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Hailing from the great state of Pennsylvania, an entertainer known the world over for her quick wit, wicked beauty, and scabby knees, it's Willem!
And also hailing from the great state of Pennsylvania, a queen known for her hair, nails, and a noose, it's Alaska Thunderfuck, 5,000 of the planet, Leprechaun!
Good evening. Good evening, panel of distinguished judges, and welcome, listeners,
to the very audience.
Established and distinguished audience. Welcome to the very first episode of Pageant Pod, which we will lovingly call
Pageant Pod.
Little Pageant Podge.
It's a little Pageant Podge.
In this 8-episode limited series podcast, we will be exploring the fabulous and dramatic history of drag pageants and how these queer institutions help shape drag culture in general.
That's right. And long before RuPaul's Drag Race was even a twinkle in RuPaul's eye, there were many, many drag pageants with legacies that have spanned decades and have laid the groundwork for so many beloved queens in pop culture to succeed today.
Mm-hmm. And Pageant Podge will also explore the twinkle in the stinkle eye, because there's a lot of side eye in the pageants. We'll be focusing on shade, on throwing the shade, catching the shade. And Pageant Pod will focus on some of the biggest pageant systems on the scene and the legendary queens who have competed for their titles.
Yes, we've got really amazing interviews with iconic queens, the divas of drag, discussions about great pageant documentaries like The Queen and Pageant, as well as conversations about the future of drag.
So let's get into it.
Pageant Podge. Patch Podge.
You know, I just saw on TV last night that there's a new documentary called Burn This Letter, Please. It's streaming on Discovery Plus, and it's all these letters that they found, most of them like 60 years old, from like the 60s and before that, of these drag queens that lived and like did their thing back then. And these pictures, honey, I had no idea you were working back then.
How dare you? There are three
queens that look like your spitting image sisters.
Exposed.
One was definitely me because she had spit on her chin.
We're exposed.
Yeah.
So what is the inspiration behind this? I think it's just because we found ourselves talking about pageants a lot. Yeah. And we were like, we should just let this spill over into its own thing and really like dive deep into the world of like drag pageant. Deep dive.
Yeah. I just really wanted to know how to affix jewelry to my body without getting keloids. That was my goal. And I thought some of these girls would better know.
We do have exclusive interviews where we just ask about adhesives. Truly.
Now, why are pageants so intriguing to you?
Well, I mean, this is the thing about pageants is, like, before Drag Race existed, the pageant system was, if you wanted to be a successful drag queen, the pageant system was where you went. That was the journey. That was your path. And so, like, there's all this history there. It goes back a really long time. There's so much tradition and like pomp and circumstance and like rules. And I find it very fascinating. And I just love to sit around and watch YouTube clips of like gown category from any year that's out there. Just put it on and just at any time you can find it like really sickening and entertaining.
And sometimes you see the same gowns from other girls. It's all just a case of history requeefing. You, as the listener, should join us on this journey because,
yes,
you know, we make anything entertaining, and some of these pageants can be long-winded, as am I.
Each episode, in the tradition of pageants, each episode will be 4 hours long. This is just the minimum.
And then we add in 58 minutes of commercials.
Yes. Okay. Dear listeners, now please perk up your ears as we take you on a brief history of drag pageants in America.
Mm-hmm. The first modern non-gay American pageant was staged by P.T. Barnum, a noted racist and carny, in 1854. But his was a beauty contest, and that was closed down by public protest once they saw Alaska's face.
Oh, Jerry, 1854. Honey, everyone starts somewhere.
Bunny plays second.
Drag pageants started within the gay community during the 1960s with a national circuit of pageants organized by Flawless Sabrina. Sabrina, of course. Yeah.
Flawless Sabrina is sickening. She's the drag mother of Zachary Drucker, who produced Transparent, lots of other things. I learned a lot about Flawless Sabrina through Zachary and her work in keeping her legacy alive. And Flawless Sabrina did pageants from the Ozarks to anywhere that would basically fit enough contestants in a hotel, would let the contestants in, and had a ballroom.
Yeah. Right, and exactly.
And honey, there was always room for the balls. Let me tell you that. Now, these drag pageants were held predominantly in gay bars during the post-Stonewall era, 1969 and after, and evolved independently. And also, they were racist a lot of the times, and we'll touch on that. But that racism helped create other things, like what we know now as the ball culture.
Right, exactly. You know,
which has prevailed.
So pageants take the format of the Miss America contest, and the first national gay pageant was Miss Gay America, which happened in 1972 at the Watch Your Hat and Coat Saloon. Honey, watch your hat and coat. Willem's the door girl, or Willem's the coat check girl.
I'm coat check, so, baby. Checking honey, all the pockets.
You need to watch the hat and the coat. And that was in Nashville, Tennessee. And that was Nashville's first gay dance and show bar.
Did you like working there?
I did. You know, I did. I did. Uh-huh. And honey, I'm still watching my hat and my coat.
A gentleman named Jerry Peek opened this bar in 1971, and it was an instant sensation. And as all good gay things are, the straight people flocked to it. The straight people
liked it too.
Honey, they all did. And we're going to talk more about some straight men. There's a Philadelphia. Never mind. We'll get to it. Miss Rachel Harlow had some admirers in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And
Norma Christie, representing the great state of Arkansas, was crowned as the winner of the 1973 Miss Gay America pageant and eventually took ownership of the pageant from Jerry Peek.
Mm-hmm. Miss Gay America got really, really popular, but many of the female impersonators who were living full-time as girls, as showgirls, they weren't able to compete in the pageant because there were lots of rules about, like, surgery, and they basically barred trans contestants from competing. So that's why Miss Continental was created.
Well, wow.
They said, fuck America, we're going to be the whole continent, honey.
Honey, continent, darling, continental. Mm-hmm. I live.
Continental breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Exactly. So some of the early drag pageants happened in nightclubs in the 60s. For instance, in 1967, the Miss All-America Camp Beauty Contest at Town Hall in New York City was featured in The Queen, which we'll be talking about a little bit.
Miss Gay America started in 1972. Mm-hmm. Miss Gay US of A started in 79. Continental, probably.
A kiss on the hand.
1980. And then National EOY started in 91.
We live.
And we're going to be talking to legends who have won a couple of those a decade apart. So
we've got crowns and gowns. We've got title holders.
Honey, the wrists are limp because of the jewelry. It's so heavy.
And it has that one dangly jewel that dangles down on a chain.
Oh, yeah. The dingle bop?
Yeah, the dingle bopper.
That's the technical term. Because if you don't tip them, you bop a bitch with it and get their scratch their cornea. Uh-huh. There is a rich history of drag pageants here that goes back decades. And we're able to access the living legends. And we thought it was important to do that because we need to bring these stories to your attention before they disappear. I mean, RuPaul's not putting them on. So this is our service to everybody to hopefully instill a love of pageantry in us to you and a new audience. So we can celebrate those who came before us and, you know, all that good stuff.
Hallelujah. Let's take a break.
She won EOY 2010, California. Miss Shanji, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, she did. She did.
I was dead last.
Well. you have broken the rules.
Rules that are in place to protect the fairness of this competition.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, and we're gonna get the rule book out. We're gonna dust it off, and we're gonna get into the rules.
Somebody get me a TI-34. I gotta add up these pageant numbers: 5 for walk, 5 for talk, 5 for bathing suit, 5 for gown, 10 for mug and hair, and 10 for beauty.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. We had the pleasure of interviewing some amazing queens while making Patch Podge. So here is a preview of some of the amazing queens you will hear from over the next 8 episodes and some of their favorite memories of pageants past. Consummate professional, master illusionist, Aurora Sexton.
I won my first pageant in Colorado at the age of 13. It was Miss Gay Pride Youth Colorado. And that kind of started my trajectory of love for pageants. I got into my first professional review show at 15. And my mom had to sign a parental consent and come to half the shows, but they were in a restaurant. So I was technically allowed. And the girls that I met were involved in US of A pageants and Miss Gay America and all these other contests. And once I saw the videos, I was hooked. So I was literally studying these videos all through my teens, just waiting and ready to go, knowing I was going to blow the roof off when I finally got the chance. And the first national pageant I ever did was Miss Gay US of A. And it was the year Alyssa Edwards won. And I thought, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be so fabulous. And they said, here's 24th place. Have a seat. Enjoy the show. And then a decade later, I went back and I won every category with perfect scores and I won the pageant.
Many of us have used the term pageant queen as a compliment, as a diss, as a general describing term. And a pageant queen, if you were to use it, popular items on a woman that it would refer to include beaded gowns, hair loafs, A certain way of speaking when answering a question with lots of diction and restating the question.
Right.
But a lot of these things are positives too in everyday life and can be used to help people.
Exactly.
The talent and the personality and the uniqueness amongst queens who compete in pageants is vast. There's not just one type of pageant queen.
Oh, exactly. And the actual unifying factor with pageant queens is that they've all worked within a set of rules or parameters. Okay, pageants don't just happen. They're built on systems. There's rules, there's traditions, there's legacies. So we put together a basic rundown of the most common pageant system structures. Okay, mm-hmm. So let's look at this. Look at how this works.
So a national pageant, this is like the big one that everybody talks about. And if you win, mm-hmm. you are the title holder for a whole year. And that title right. comes with strings that you have to fulfill going to preliminary pageants for a certain yes. amount of dollar amount. And if you have a gig that pays more and you don't go, you can get your crown and title taken away. If you,
yes.
If you
and
decide,
there's a lot of bobby pins, so it's hard to take the crown back. It's hard to take it off.
This is true. Sometimes they put some natties in there too. They got a track. They got a track in the front for a swoop de doop and a bang. These pageants do have a lot of rules, but it's one of those things that can help a young performer grow and hone in on her craft. Jasmine Masters has this video where she's telling a girl to do a little bar pageant, get her stuff together, because it will help you learn how to like change real quick and to like get, make sure you know how to pack a bag and know how to make a list and check all your things off and, you know, another mirror for the, so you can see the back of your hair in the walk-in freezer glass.
Exactly.
There's lots of things about big national pageants and all the rules, which can help a girl, even if she doesn't win later in her career.
Yeah, it's definitely a training ground. I mean, it was for me a little bit because, you know, getting read for the dirt for detail by detail about everything that's fucked up about you is a great way to learn how to be better.
Maybe that could be a whole podcast.
All right. We're starting Everything That's Fucked Up About You, the podcast, now on the Mom Network.
Advertisers inquire within.
Exactly. So basically, okay, there's preliminaries. So you like that happens in your region. Okay. So a standard regional pageant is a pageant where there's no specific residency requirement other than you're from the US. And then there's a limited regional, mm-hmm. which is you must reside for at least 90 days in a contiguous state to the location of the place. Oh my God, we're really in the fucking rule yeah. books.
And then they have
subsection C.
Yeah, a closed state pageant is a state pageant where contestants must meet the 90-day residency requirement and must qualify as a winner or first alternate through an official city or metropolitan preliminary. And then okay. the last most open one is an open state page, and that's a state pageant whereby there are no official location, residency, preliminary pageants, and contestants must meet the 90-day residency requirement of that particular state in order to enter. Also, you must have sucked at least two security guards and one bar back mm-hmm. or two bartenders in an adjoining or local bar.
Excuse me. I can prove that she only lived here for 89 days. That's right. She is disqualified.
I have the utilities bill.
To prove it, the spectrum internet.
The body, the beauty, and the booty. It's Akiria Chanel Davenport.
The thing with Black Universe is it's one of those systems, it's always been known as one of those systems where it's the top tier system to win. So especially for the Black community. So if you were a former Miss Black Universe or the current reigning Miss Black Universe, you were like the creme de la creme. So for me coming in fresh off the newcomer circuit, I was pretty much a baby queen in their eyes. So
yeah,
I was pretty much just going to be intermission, probably free to look at. Those were the things that they was thinking was coming their way. But bitch, I had a plan. I had a plan for them.
Not only did you have a plan, but you executed it like very well within an inch of its life. Like that was sickening.
Yeah, I won every category except for question and answer. And that's all because drinking before question and answer might not work in your favor.
Oh. Oh, there are so many rules. Okay, some pageants require that the contestants be, and this is, quote, biological males. And that's the term that is used on the websites, which is, you know, I mean, these rules are always evolving, and we hope to see them, like, evolve even more. So, some more rules.
There's, but also with that rule, they have rules about, like, you're not allowed to have face work in some, or you can't have body work in others. But
well, you're out of both of those.
How dare you? Well, you have to be at
right.
Least
they're very specific. They're like, you can't have any silicone work from the neck down in mm-hmm. in certain pageants.
You have to be at least 21 years of age and able to show proof of age for most pageants, because they usually are in bars. And this is where I take great umbrage. The use of or dispensing of illegal drugs or marijuana will not be tolerated at a pageant. Immediate disqualification will result for those that break this rule.
Okay. Well, okay. Any contestant that is not in the appointed place at the appointed time will lose administrative points. So you got to be on time. Mm-hmm. That's a good lesson that you can learn from the page world.
Can't be late. Look at what happened to Chichi Rodriguez, you know, putting her wig on in the stairwell. And then she didn't win.
She got docked. Her talent was great. Her talent was fantastic, but she got docked because she was.
Now, how do you know who she has foreskin? Any contestant's dancer, helper, dresser who is caught in the act of stealing or tampering with another person's possessions will be immediately disqualified and removed from the location of the patch.
Okay. Caught in the act. Any contestant in the top five not staying on stage for the entire crowning and picture taking will forfeit their placement and their prize money. So even if you're bitter boots, you have to stay.
Now is not the time to show temperament.
I've shown temperament.
You need to temper those eggs before you mix that foundation into them. or it'll scramble.
Whipped.
A whipped body moves.
They've curdled.
Whipped
Honey,
body
your foundation
moves.
Curdled.
She turned. She pivoted, and then that face turned.
Curdled. The icon herself, star of stage and screen, it's Ms. Chic Candace Kane.
You add queens in the mix. This isn't some, you know, Miss America pageant where everybody has to be known. These are like crafty, shady queens, honey. And I remember being downstairs and one girl tore through this. Who took my heel? Who took my heel? And everybody's like, girl, I don't know. Now, motherfucker, I better see that heel on my table. I'm walking to the bathroom, and if it's not back, I'm going through everybody's back. I mean, it was like, yeah, there was a couple of those moments where you're like, oh my God, this is crazy.
There are many categories in a pageant. Some of them sometimes are personal interview, or that can sometimes be presentation. It depends on the pageant. But personal interview is also done the day before sometimes, and that's out of drag. There's a famous picture of Coco Montrese and Alexis Mateo. And I want to say in boy drag, but like, because it feels even more foreign than actual drag, seeing them dressed like this.
Right.
But the meme caption says, when you have to dress mask for a work event. Because they're in like suit and ties. It's very
It's always like a suit, but like acrylic nails. Not an eyebrow to be found.
Nary a brow at all.
That's usually the vibe.
Color spray behind. they ask you to bend your ear forward to see if there's color spray behind your ear. They'll get a girl.
So binary.
Yeah.
So binary. Okay. So personal interview. There's talent, which usually lasts between 5 to 7 minutes, with a limited stage prop setup time for fairness. Drag queen of the year. We tried, honey.
You tried. You tried it.
Recently, there have been more rules added to the talent portion. So no glitter, no fire, no water.
So Captain Planet's out.
Right, exactly. But I'll still do heart. Okay, I'm still going to do heart. No live animals or reptiles. And music must be turned in on a CD.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. So you can use dead Gia monsters and...
shit.
And can you use dead animals?
I think there's nothing against dead animals.
I mean,
this is all for safety and fairness, though, because if the girl before you does glitter, water, then even if they mop the stage and wipe it down, you're still going to be dancing on a fucking moist floor, which I don't recommend.
This is true. A flooded basement, fine. Moist floor, no, never.
Honey, her basement's flooded and her attic is empty.
We're gonna get a name. Introducing the body without a mind, and a sump pump without a gunt.
She originated the role, a classic diva. It's Tasha Cole.
You know, back then there wasn't a YouTube, you know, video on how to do your makeup or how to do padding. I mean, I was the Johnny Appleseed of hip pads, because when I started wearing hip pads, everybody made fun of me, but I had really big shoulders, and I swear I never looked more like a man than in a dress. So, because my shoulders were so big. So that's kind of where the big
shoulders
hair
need
and
massive hips, girl.
Girl, I was like, I want them to notice how big my ass is, not how big my shoulders are. So I started, Vonda Delane helped me cut and style my first set of hip pads. And then I morphed from there. But the whole time I was traveling, nobody wore hip pads back then. And I would go and they would go, oh, Pat, and I would cut hip pads and make hip pads for people. And now it's like everybody freaking wears hip pads, you know?
You're the Johnny Appleseed of hip pads.
Johnny Appleseed of drag pads.
But, we thank you for that.
Oh, honey, don't you? Because let me tell you, back in the days when people were not wearing pads, there was some rough-looking boys in a dress call.
A standard category in every pageant is evening wear or gowns. Yes. Mm-hmm. Are we talking? Are male entertainer pageants included in this? Because
of course,
those okay.
Yeah. Of course,
yes. So
evening wear, stage question and answer, and production talent. Okay, so there's usually, sometimes there's like solo talent where it's just you, then there's production talent where you can have 45 dancers, but no fire. And you cannot do Britney Spears, I'm a Slave for You from the VMAs, so don't even bring Banana the Anaconda. Don't even bring it.
Tranica already turned in her music for that. I have a question. I thought in my head when I was looking at it, production talent was like the production number that all the girls do together.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
I wasn't sure, but my sources are telling me
Dipper
yes, that
is saying
correct.
Yes. According to our sauces.
Secrets
the street
in the sauce.
Is the place to go.
Tonight, for the first time, the sponsors will be typically presenting a sponsorship package, which is beneficial to a girl in some way, either in money, services, rhinestones, crystals, products, beauty pageant necessities that are in exchange for advertising in the back of a program or a personal shout out from the stage.
Right. Some pageants require that you get your gowns from specific designers. So, girl, okay, work. Yes.
This is now morphing into the Drag Race system for sure, because Drag Race is one of those pageants and contestants and competitions that does tell the girls you can't wear that anymore, because they make you send in your pictures beforehand now for outfits. And they're like, oh, you can't use him. So they're getting more rules as they go too. There's a whole like economic system linked to advertising in the program too, with sponsoring a queen, designer gowns, and other vendors connected to the pageant. It's you know, all the hands wash each other in the pageant world, I feel like.
Don't you know that this hand washes that one too? So that's like, okay. So there's a lot of rules. That's generally an overview of how it all works. But we're going to be hearing from our dear pageant veterans throughout this series that there are so many details and specific situations connected to each pageant system.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of unwritten rules too that we don't know about that these girls are going to talk about. Like, you know, oh, if you don't have this color tights on, or if you can't see your toes, or when you're wearing an open-toe shoe. Like, there's so many little things that are unwritten that you're just supposed to know off the top of your head.
The rest of the rules are unwritten. Why don't we take a break and then we'll talk some more about Patch Podge.
Patch Podge. Patch Podge.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
From the great city of Columbus, Ohio, the perky, poised, and picturesque Nina West.
So for Entertainer of the Year, when you do a final night gown, there's really no setup time. And so you're supposed to run on stage, the curtain's down, you run up on stage, and you get set. And the contestant before me was so rotted and bitter towards I had done so well over the
Alaska,
weekend.
Alaska, you didn't tell me you did the pageant.
You can't.
But she was so mad at me for just kind of being there and doing well. And we were getting set, and I turn over and I look, and she looks at the guy who's raising the curtain, and she goes, oh, she's ready. And the curtain started to open, and it was all of a sudden, like, everyone started to, like, throw their hands on me, and I was like, hurry, 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 hurry. Like, it was, like, frozen like that. So if you watch that curtain open, you can see just for a moment, everyone's kind of shifting underneath, and it's frozen.
Yeah, and I just watched it before we signed on, and there's, like, a little, you feel like there's a breeze or somebody farted under there.
Well, and then we got off stage, so we got a standing ovation. People go nuts.
Oh, they were losing their mind.
Almonds, cashews, macadamias, everywhere.
And we walk off stage as they form the train, and I'm walking into the wing, and I see that same entertainer. She had this gorgeous beaded necklace, and it was on her, and she was on a ramp. She goes, ah! It was like, do you remember in Tuong Fu, the opening?
Joey Arias, when he
she goes, ah! Uh-huh. Yeah. She ripped off her jeweled necklace. She ripped it off, and she was walking down the hallway, and all of those beads started rolling down the ramp. And I was like, holy fuck. I guess we did well.
I know that you've been a longtime admirer of pageants. What was your first pageant that you remember seeing? Was it in person or the internet or YouTube?
For me? Personally, it was the Miss Pegasus pageant, which was to represent Pegasus, the bar in Pittsburgh.
Oh, the Peggy Page.
The Peggy Page. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be a great idea, since it was my second time doing drag, I thought it would be a great idea to enter this pageant, where I got, shall we say, a dog walked.
I heard Sharon had to pick you up at the shelter after.
Girl, I didn't know her then.
It was a no-kill shelter.
Before I knew her.
Oh, okay. So, dead last.
Dead last.
What was Undead your talent? Last. What was like your a talent? Zombie. What was your talent?
I dressed up like a circus freak. I love my talent.
Every day wear.
I dressed up like a circus freak. And I killed my circus master and I ate his guts and there was like SpaghettiOs in his stomach and I ate them.
How fun.
But now I'm gluten free, so I can't do this number anymore.
Yeah. It was a specific point in your life where you could express yourself through pasta substitute snacks.
Yeah, exactly.
From point shoes to stiletto heels, the queen of the north, Brooklyn Heights.
One of the things I love about a pageant is there's always a monkey wrench, like that girl who comes in that no one really knows and just kind mm-hmm. of like, she's a little rough right. around the edges, but she burns the building in talent or something and everyone loves her. So I was that girl that year for both of those pageants. And that was like my yeah. introduction to like the American pageant world, which was crazy. So yeah, like I did my Black Swan talent and I'll never forget it. Like when I did my reveal from white to black and the audience just went ape shit. They just went crazy and it was like this wall of noise coming at me and it was so cool. And I mean, I looked like a fucking mess. Like I look back at those pictures and like my gown was pretty, but the hair, the makeup, like I had no clue what I was doing, but I still got first runner up. So that was cool. And it was like kind of what set me up for the rest of my life. So obviously I went back the next year and that's the year I won.
How about you?
My first pageant that I remember watching fully was probably the one in the Queen with that Flawless Sabrina put on. But the first pageant I actually experienced was California EOY 2010. And that was the one with Shangela, Delta, Detox,
yes.
Chad Michaels, Lady K, lots
every
of girls.
Girl.
Shay Shay Larisse was in it. Jasmine Masters. Everybody was in it.
Every girl showed up for that one.
And it was a great one. There were judges' scores thrown out. There was narcotics. There was alcohol. There was blood. A girl busted her face open on the stage. We'll talk about that. There's nothing like a good dirty patch where like everything goes right and everything goes wrong. Shangela had 30 dancers. She won in Alyssa's gown, I think. It didn't fit her.
Wow.
It was a great, great patch. I had a Segway that I rented from the Santa Monica Beach and drove all the way from Santa Monica to West Hollywood.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was at the House of Blues. It was a wonderful experience. And I wanted to enter the pageant because at that point, Drag Race was on the air, and I was like, I'm not doing Drag Race. Mm-mm, I'm an actor. I'll just do this. This will be fun. It was at House of Blues where we already had, I'd been performing there for like a year or so with Trans K. So I was like, oh yeah, it's at the place I already work. They'll love me. I'll win. I'm pretty sure I was dead last.
Well, I'd love to pull up the score sheets and I'd be happy to go over them with you and we can tell you point
Me
by
too.
Point.
Me too. Unfortunately, there's probably fecal matter from Aubrey O'Day on it because she was so sloppy. I'm sure she shit herself and threw up.
And did flip-flaps on the floor.
Honey, you've seen that pageant, right?
So I've heard it's one of those pageants that's just so legendary. I've heard all the legends. I've seen, you know, clips. I remember Detox was like, wasn't she a silver alien?
With actual spray paint. She was spray painted silver. Oh, and I think Six did her makeup. Six who wow. does Bob's makeup on We're Here, and she's a legendary queen in her own right. Wow. But it was one of those pageants where there was so much going on between four floors of dressing rooms and
girl.
Shangela had like that that Reba McEntire illusion where you thought she was up on the balcony but she was really on stage, and then everybody was confused. And she had at least 15 to 80 backup dancers. I'm not sure of the number, but there were plenty so of right. them.
So, every time the story gets told, the number gets bigger.
And she, of course, it was a mix. And there was strength worked into it. Strength.
Oh, I got the strength. Uh-huh. Yes.
It was
course.
All of that. There were pins left on the stage, plasma on the stage, and plenty of else, everything else to go around with it. There's video clips all over the internet. I'm pretty sure Click Click Exposé has a video of it for sale, or maybe even a DVD or Blu-ray, depending on your location. But that for me was like my favorite time for watching pageant videos, because it's like, I knew the judges. I respected some of the judges. There was like Erica there. And like, it was just like this prime time in pageants where like they were like head to head with Drag Race. And it was like old school versus new school a little bit. But like the unifying factor between both competitions was you had to put on a good goddamn show.
The dancing diva of the Deep South. She invented bucking as we know it today. It is the one and only Kennedy Davenport.
I never saw myself as a pageant queen. You know, coming into the Drag Race Society threw me in that box. But I every challenge that I won had nothing to do with pageantry. You know, it was all comedy. And then I found myself being upset because everything was always about, had to be funny. Like I always had to make things to be funny. No, drag is not funny. You know, and that's how I saw it, girl. You know, I was like, drag is not funny. This is some serious shit.
The Dallas Doll, master electrician and purveyor of drag excellence, Miss Asia O'Hara.
I had seen drag for probably a year prior to this, and I was in the audience with some friends, and I liked drag. I wasn't doing drag yet. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? This is the Super Bowl of drag. Yes. She comes, she's in the birdcage, in the feathers, and I was like, this is great. It closes, it reopens. She's in a blue gown with the white gloves, doing SOS Felicidad. It closes, it reopens. She's in a new costume. I'm like, what is happening? And then to know that this queen financed, choreographed, designed, mixed, sewed, feathered, rhinestoned every single part of this production blows my mind. To this day, it still blows my mind.
And she probably welded that cage too.
Yeah, she probably did. Like if you, Alexis Gabrielle Sherrington to me is the most iconic drag queen ever. Yeah. And I think the tenacity of drag performers as a whole, like for me, lives and breathes in that moment, knowing that that was that grand, and knowing that every single part of it was done with her own hands. For, I think she said a year and a half, she prepared rhinestoning every dancer's costume, the shoes, the bow ties, the gloves, feathering the fans, building the cage. And then to like know that you had the like audacity to pack all of that into a truck and drive it across the country for a drag pageant, it blows my mind.
We're starting from the very beginning of pageantry, so we must discuss the iconic and legendary documentary, The Queen. It's currently streaming on Netflix. It's also on YouTube with some sort of Cyrillic subtitling. And a couple of lapses in audio, but you get what's going on. It's a rigged page that Flawless Sabrina put on and had filmed.
Yes.
And it was from 1968. And it was directed by Frank Simon and narrated by Sabrina. And it depicts the experiences of drag queens organizing and participating in the 1967 Miss All America Camp Beauty Contest held at New York City's Town Hall, which is a spot that's still a home to drag queens. We performed there, you know, last year.
Yeah, definitely. This was first released in the United States in June 1968 to generally positive reviews. It was subsequently screened in France, Netherlands, Denmark, and Finland. The film was revived in January 2013 at New York Film Forum, followed by a 4K restoration screened during the 2019 Melbourne International Film Festival. I love this movie.
I am beautiful, and I know I'm beautiful.
Me too. This went to Cannes, and of course, Rachel Harlow was right there, front and center, with Sabrina. She was kind of the ingenue of the whole piece, and the film was built around her. She didn't do much in the film, notably. I mean, there's an intro with her, and there's an outro. There's her pouting in a bed, and Sabrina yelling at her. And Sabrina even says to her, she said, you're behaving like a little child, and you're not that little. And it's a big night. It's all you've ever wanted. But that doesn't mean anything. It's one of those things where you could tell that Sabrina organized it for Harlow to win, including arranging for her to get a wig that same day when she didn't have one that she liked. So it's,
girl,
the riggery goes back to the beginning here for sure.
The Page was deeply pulled. And just imagine, if you haven't seen this, just imagine the year 1967. Okay. And this is a group of young, gay, queer people who show up to a hotel in 1967. Mm-hmm. They show up to a hotel to get up in drag and do a drag pageant in 1967. It's so inspiring to look at these kids, and they were acting the way we do today. I mean, carrying on, singing to each other in the hotel rooms,
doing May West numbers.
Right, ordering up
two
some
bottles
drinks.
Of scotch. Where's the spirit gum? I must have the. I need spirit gums and toothpicks. Toothpicks don't grow on trees, you know.
I'm just so glad there was a camera crew in this moment, because it's really, really inspiring to see, like, you can make fucking being gay illegal. You can make cross-dressing illegal. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want, but fucking cross-dressers will find a way.
Always. And the straight people found a way to patronize the drag establishment that a lot of these people worked at. The Kennedys had been there at some of these things. Grace Kelly's brother, John Kelly, he was an Olympian. He had an affair with Rachel Harlow, the winner of this. And his mother said that she would disown him if he married Rachel. So they never got married. But Rachel went on to own a place in Philadelphia called Harlow's on 22nd and Market, Philly work. Girl. And she used to work all over in the area. She had a French restaurant with her ex-husband. She worked in AC a lot. She was a legend in the tri-state area. But in this film, she didn't do much other than play along and look beautiful.
Right.
She was definitely like the young Meg Ryan, ingenue, gorge, Blake Lively character.
Yeah, definitely.
The point system for this film is twacked. There's a 5-point walk, a 5-point for talk, 5-point for bathing suit, 5 for gown. So far, that's 20. 5 for makeup and hair, 25. And then an all around 10 for beauty. So
for beauty. Honey.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm banking on the 10 points for beauty, darling.
Well, you better go to a credit union then, dear.
a lot of the girls, it seemed like, were just there to like have fun, because opportunities like this did not come around a lot back then. And so like they were having such a good time hanging out. And the swimsuit category. So wait, they all had to walk in the same black swimsuit.
That's what old school beauty pageants used to do the same, though. The regular ones with girls, they were all in the same swimsuit too.
Could you fucking imagine? I can't. No. And so the one queen is like, no, I'm not doing that. And so she walks after the category in a black trench coat, and which I thought was a very fierce and inspiring moment.
101 pounds of fun. She's my little honey bun. That queen is my favorite. It's like Jinx Monsoon meets Ginger Minj. This show tune queen who sticks her chin out so far to even gain an inch of neck. And she's lovely. Also notable is Miss Chicago plucking chest hairs one by one and then moving her sash to cover the ones that she couldn't get. And there's some really fascinating conversations about like the draft, which was happening at this time for Vietnam and Korea, I guess, or whatever war was going on then. I don't know much about wars, but my drag is fierce.
Right. The contestants are all, they're sharing hotel rooms. They're teaching each other how to glue down their brows. They're showing off all the looks they brought. It's really such a heartwarming movie if you haven't watched it. Okay.
Just watching them put on their makeup, like seeing the old school products they had to use. Yeah.
There was no Amazon. There was no eBay. There was no YouTube. This was all just whatever you could get your hands on. So most of the girls had one wig for the whole night. A lot of the girls were sharing, supplies and secrets. They were squeezing into dresses from a costume shop. Mm-hmm. Makeup and wigs, girl, much harder to come by.
And lots of scotch tape.
Right.
Uh-huh. I don't know if they order two bottles of scotch to dip the tape into, but those girls were taping. They were taping their foreheads up to their wig caps to gain that good Kendall Jenner fox eye lift moment.
Exactly. And luckily, the wigs have a good little rolled bang to cover all the taping areas.
Little sweetheart moment in the bang. Long bang, heavy powder, head down, walk fast, no spook. Yeah. The girls also employed lots of dark, smoky eyes. It was just like a heavily lidded moment. Bangs, natural leave outs, falls, switches, updos, all these things.
It's so wild that there was a camera crew here for this because, Harlow is this very like naturally beautiful, young, blonde queen. Okay. Shows up and at the last minute, my wig isn't working. And so who jumps in to get her hair together but the pageant organizers? They are scrambling, running around on the phone, looking up in the phone book, trying to find a wig at the last minute.
It's a matter of life or death. They literally say that on the phone.
The pageant organizers are helping get this contestant who wasn't prepared together. That's a head scratcher, but work.
It was so known that this was rigged that a couple of the girls, like Monique, told Crystal LaBeija not to go because she said it was rigged. And she said all the true beauties didn't attend. Monique did attend, but she didn't attend as Sabrina's guest. She attended as Crystal's guest. She was Crystal's friend that night. You know, when you have a friend there and you're like, no, you're not talking to her. You're my friend tonight. It was definitely that moment for Miss Monique. But Harlow was the NBW, which is the natural beauty wonder of the evening. And she, you know, Sabrina organized this. She knew what she was doing in advance. She knew that she was going to make this a movie or a documentary, and rigged as it was and unfair as it was, thank God she did it, because this is like the only thing we have from this time of this right now.
Yes. And it was very clear that Flawless Sabrina, it was her intention to, I'm going to bring in Harlow because we're filming a movie. So it's going to be about Harlow. But the movie actually ends up being about Crystal LaBeija, because Crystal LaBeija sees all this romper room fuckery going on. She sees the riggery. She sees that it's completely fixed for Harlow to win. And so Crystal LaBeija throws a fit at the end. She doesn't win, and she walks off stage, and the camera crew follows her, and we in turn get one of the most iconic, memorable drag queen reading moments of drag history.
It's evidenced why Crystal was feeling plucked, because Harlow had better lighting for her close-ups. She had more screen time. She had more coverage on stage. Just from the shots they show of her, you could tell they had way more coverage of her on stage. And anybody who was there, I'm sure, saw the writing on the wall. Crystal is named fourth runner up, and she is Modisha Jenkins. She walks off the stage once they start calling the top three. And Crystal, Sabrina says, "Crystal, where are you going? This is not the time to show temperament. Your colors are showing." Which sounds racist, but you know, different time. But at the end of the night, Crystal is telling everyone how rigged it was and that she's going to sue them if she sees any footage of herself. "You can take all the pictures you want, darling. But I'll sue the fool.
I'll sue the bitch. Did you sign a release?" "I will sue." "No, I didn't sign any release. And if she releases any bitch on me, I will sue the fool. She won't make money off of my name, John."
Listen, you're beautiful. You're young. You deserve everything the best in life. I don't say she's not beautiful, but she wasn't looking beautiful tonight. She doesn't equal me. Look at her makeup. It's terrible."
"I am beautiful, and I know I'm beautiful. She looked bad."
Exactly. Like, she went reads, in. And she lets have, and that's the fucking movie. That. And
Crystal did look amazing. Sickening. She had diamante. She had like smoky lined eyes, a giant updo. She looked like Aja in Snatch Game. She looked just like this otherworldly, sickening beauty. I didn't see the crown that Harlow got. Did you see it?
I don't recall.
Me neither. I don't remember.
I think it was small.
I don't remember it being notable of anything. And Crystal says that Harlow's not going to get any money because she's Sabrina's friend. So who even knows? But Crystal, Rachel is still alive. She's now known as Rachel Bilbuat.
Work.
And Flawless Sabrina went on to like be the advisor for movies like Myra Breckinridge and Midnight Cowboy, films that had like an LGBT slant back then. So she'd been doing it for a long time. It's wonderful that we have this. And it's something that you should watch if you haven't watched it. If you're listening to this and you're, "Oh my God, look at my pen. It's got a fake nail on it." Just somehow.
That's cute.
Girl, this is like, of that's course. God being like, "There you go." The movie of the Queen ends with Harlow at Port Authority with one little suitcase getting on the bus back to Philly, which, honey, I know that route. I've ridden that route.
It's very good. It's required viewing. Mm-hmm. So treat yourself and give it a watch. It's called The Queen. It's on Netflix or on YouTube.
And thank you for listening to us this week, that for your required listening.
As we move forward through the next 8 installments of Pageant Pod, there are so many amazing visual references that we're going to be talking about. So we will, of course, post these things to the Mom Podcast page on Instagram for your viewing pleasure. So make sure to go give that account a follow because you won't want to miss that. And also, we're going to put together a YouTube playlist with recommended videos and clips for you to watch if you want to really get into the deep dive with us, and you will. So head on over to Forever Dog YouTube channel and check out our Pageant Pod YouTube playlist. Obviously, this is not required viewing to listen to the pod, but if you really want to immerse yourself in the experience, you'll want to go check that out. And there's some really amazing moments, so don't miss it. Next week, we'll be talking about Miss Continental with special guests Candace Kane, Nasha Lopez, and Brooklyn Heights. And we will also talk about the documentary The Queens, which is available to watch at thereporters.org. So get ready for next week and all things Miss Continental. She is your Miss West End debut 2021, hailing from an Airbnb in the fine city of London. It's Willem.
And please celebrate your reigning Roy G. Biv BBT 2021, representing morph suits everywhere. It's Alaska.
I'm sorry, but that morph suit is not up to regulation. It is not up to regulation. It buttons on the left. It buttons on the left. Thank you and good night.
Forever. Dog.
Pageant Pod is a Forever Dog and Moguls of Media production hosted by Alaska and Willem.
Produced by Big Dipper and Joseph Shepard.
Editing and sound design by Will Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem Belli.
Alaska Thunderfuck.
Big Dipper.
Brett Bowen.
Joe Cilio.
And Alex Ramsey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.